I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 85, and today is Grant Anderson.
Hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses, Grant Anderson. Plus, I think we need to talk about some All-Star stuff. By the way, this is on the Dub Network. Thanks to the Dub Network for taking the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast and putting us on there.
Very nice.
And Frisco Rough Rider guest today is going to be Grant Anderson. We're going to have him on here in just a second. First of all, though, we got to talk about the big leagues. Hey, by the way, guys, get down and hit that subscribe button down there. RangersToday.com, $5.99 a month, $60 for the year, $35 for 6 months.
That's right. I mean, if you're a Rangers fan, they're not going anywhere.
No, absolutely not.
This is real. We'll talk about that. But don't miss anything and get a subscription to Rangers Today. You'll be glad you did.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, the Dub Network has been fantastic, guys. If you're a hockey fan, go listen to that Suds with Luds. Craig Ludwig, he had on Darian Hatcher. I mean, for Dallas Stars fans.
Sure.
Ranger fan stuff, you're here. But if you like that, he's had on Hatcher, Madonna. He's had some fun guys on there. All right, we got to get to a team that is playing unbelievable. Let's talk about the big league team. They're 35-20.
Yeah.
They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They've lost one. They lost that last game coming out. What were they, 6-3 on the road trip?
6-3, yeah, they went 2-3 in each series, so that's obviously great. I mean, that's compared to where they've been on the road. I think I did something on that in the newsletter at RangersDay.com. They went they're 13-6 last month on the road. They played 19 road games. I mean, that's a heavy road slate, and to go 13-6 is remarkable, especially where this team's been on the road. They were actually even last year at home and road. I mean, 34 wins, pretty terrible. But, 2020, they went 2021, they went 24-57. 2020, they went 6-24. They haven't had a winning road record since the last time they won a division in 2016. I mean, it's a formula. I mean, you have to win on the road to win.
Or at least you got to be even or even.
They were three games above 500 in 2016. Now, they had the best record in I think, baseball, definitely the American League. But you got to win on the road, and young teams have trouble winning on the road, and obviously they're very young, and from the last half of 2021, very young. Last year, pretty young. This year, they're not as young. You know, they have they have a rookie, Josh Jung. They have a young center fielder, though he's got a lot, you know, he's been in the major leagues before. So they're doing well. The catcher, Jonah Heim, still a young player. Ezekiel Duran, who's probably going to be off the injured list by the time some people listen to this.
Yeah.
He's young. But
is he not doing a rehab?
I don't know. They haven't decided that yet. But they have a veteran group around these guys to support them. And then, I mean, when you don't have young starting pitchers, when you have veteran starting pitchers, that makes a big difference too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, winning on the road is a necessary ingredient to being a playoff team.
Well, and Kane, before we get into Grant Anderson, by the way, we're going to talk to Grant Anderson again. That's who's coming on here. And in his debut, which was fantastic, what's the word on Jacob DeGrom? I mean, went on to had a baby.
Right.
The third one, right? This is number three.
What?
He went home and his wife had a baby.
Oh, okay, good. Good for him. he's doing fine. On the mound stuff is fine.
Right.
You know, it's the elbow has responded well to all of his latest bullpen sessions, including throwing curveball or sliders and taking a break, kind of trying to simulate two innings of work. It's going to come down to whether or not the Rangers think he should go on a rehab assignment. I think we talked about this last show.
Yeah.
Do you want to waste those bullets on, you know,
you can piggyback Dane Dunning
or
yeah.
the El Paso Chihuahuas, you know, or yeah. do you want to use those bullets on
Major
the St. Louis Cardinals or Astros or whoever's coming up on the schedule?
So, absolutely.
That's something that'll be meted out, but.
If you're trying to get him three ups and downs, could he go out and get 9 outs for you against the Astros and then bring in Dane Dunning or something like that, which may be more – I mean, look, every win counts right now, especially against the Astros.
Yeah, yeah. they don't play the Astros till the end of the month.
Yeah, right. But
yeah, but they got the Angels coming up. They have Tampa Bay and New York on the road this month, so it's an interesting month. Most games at home, 18 at home, 9 on the road. Anyway – it's well, just how you want. How do you want to utilize him? And you know, veterans do get a say,
right?
And anyway, we'll see. You know, Chris Young's the former pitcher who's seen a lot of guys hurt, and he's probably seen a lot of different ways for them to come back. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. Okay. So let's go to Grant Anderson. What a debut! Good
yeah,
Lord. So we've been talking about this as a guy they could bring up. Hey, look. It's fantastic what he did, but let's be honest. Grant Anderson isn't going to come out and strike out 6 out of 7 batters or whatever he did over.
Right.
He's not going to get 7 outs and get 6 strikeouts or 5 strikeouts. That's not going to happen every time.
Yeah.
But boy, he did look good. He threw strikes. I mean, he went after hitters. Something that this bullpen's had a problem with is walking people.
Right.
He came in and did it. He earned this promotion.
Yeah.
He earned a shot to do this, and he's come up and do it. And then you find out – I mean, I didn't realize this till after he came up and people started talking about it. He's got the twin brother who just got promoted to Frisco. There's two of these guys.
Yeah. You
know? But we'll talk to him about that when he comes up here in a little bit, about his twin brother maybe. But that's one arm back there, and it's not necessarily guaranteed this is a back end of the bullpen guy either. What you need is somebody to get you some outs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack with him. I mean, he set the bar way too high.
Yeah.
Even if he has a scoreless inning and only strikes out one, people are going to be like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
The key, though, is he just goes about it differently. You know, he's not a power arm.
No. Nope. Has that arm slot that's a little different.
Yeah. And the delivery's got a little twist in it that makes it kind of funky. And the pitches move differently than what hitters are used to seeing. So those are all things that play into his advantage and have to play into his advantage, not having 99 in his back pocket.
Right.
But yeah, that was fun to see. He got kind of put in a tough spot there. You know, it was the tying run was at second base when he came in the fifth inning.
Right.
Coming like in the sixth. And that was a huge out.
He ended up getting the win, didn't he?
Yeah, he got the win. And, but it's nice to see that somebody whose good work in the minor leagues was rewarded. He earned it, like you said.
Right.
And this should be a promising signal to people down there, players down there in the minor leagues who aren't on the 40-man roster.
Exactly.
Saying, hey, you know, all I have to do is perform. And if I'm getting outs and doing everything I'm supposed to do, the big league team's going to notice it and the big league team's going to going to potentially reward me with a promotion to the big leagues. We think of Chase Lee, not on the 40 man, but he's having a really good stretch in Round Rock right now. And he and Grant Anderson are similar pitchers. I don't know how many of them you want on the roster at the same time, but
right.
He's a guy who could definitely earn his way to the major leagues just by
putting
his head down and doing things right.
And the offside of that is that it was required to get a 40-man spot when they did it. Ricky Venasco was DFA'd.
Yeah.
Actually texted Ricky last night after all of that went down and just said, good luck, buddy, and, I'm expecting great things. He texted me back, said thank you, and thank you to us for having him on. So really good guy. Good luck. I mean, I think we want him to go there and kill it and be good. Sure. That's what you want. I mean, it works for everybody. I mean, Grant Anderson kind of came here the same way. I mean, he was there was a DFA on Sajak, and then going to Seattle, that trade came from Seattle to get Anderson here and look here. That works. That's what it's for. When your system's deep, I hope Ricky does it and goes there and does well.
Yeah. And it's a tough. The Rangers are in a tough spot. They were in full on rebuild mode. They had to protect a bunch of prospects, and now they said the heck with it. We're going to spend some money and get some guys. So there's not a lot of, there is not flexibility on the 40-man roster, at least not as much as you'd like to see, but they were also hoping they would be good this year.
Right.
But they still needed to have that backbone support system of young minor leaguers who you don't want to lose.
Right.
And who potentially you can trade them. You can do a lot of things with minor leaguers. They don't have to come play for you. You can trade them and, it just so happened that on the numbers game, the Rangers needed a spot, and they thought that of the guys on the 40 that Ricky would be the one who could get him something.
Yeah.
I think ultimately is what it is. Not
Luis Valdez, a left-handed pitcher. That's actually had some decent numbers at low end this year.
Yeah, and he Ricky hadn't pitched well, but he'd only pitched twice.
He's coming back from injuries.
And you just throw that out. So it's not his numbers.
Yeah.
Because he had like a 23 ERA. It's the numbers on the 40-man roster. And it just didn't work out, but it could ultimately work out for him.
I saw that you talked to somebody. There was a ton of interest in him when they DFA.
Yeah.
A lot of teams inquired.
Right. Right, so I mean, they hadn't put him on waivers because they knew that they'd be able to get something.
Explain this. So did LA claim him?
No.
So when he's DFA'd,
when you're DFA'd, you have I think it's 10 days or maybe it's 7 days to trade outright or release or to.
So that's what it was.
Put on waivers, and they hadn't put him on waivers yet because
teams started calling about
it. They knew that.
They would probably
would get some interest.
Okay.
And they needed to get something back for him. You just don't want to lose Ricky Venasco.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's anyway.
Because if he was claimed off waivers, then they would have to put him on the big league team. He would have to stay for the rest of the year or a year or something like that.
Well, he would go into the 40-man roster.
Right. He would go on the 40-man roster.
Yeah,
okay.
So he would be
He's on the 40-man roster with.
No, he's not. Because he was removed from the Rangers 40-man roster.
Okay, so I learned something new that you're teaching me there. Okay,
basically, this is what happens when you get good.
Yeah,
you're gonna end up losing players.
Absolutely.
And
who goes somewhere else? And when of course, obviously the front office will get blamed when Venasco becomes a good closer or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is when the Rangers were good. They needed the spot, and you got to make moves that do it. And let me tell you how good the Rangers are. I put this out there the other day. All-Stars.
Uh-huh.
All-Star voting started. There is a legit case. Now, I'm not saying 9 people will be on the All-Star team. There's a legit case for 9. I put 8 because I'm giving Corey Seager, I'm just putting him to the side because he hasn't played enough, although he's certainly making a case to be on the All-Star team. And actually might be put above some of these just because he's a name recognition and the fans can vote him in and something like that. But there are 8 Rangers that have legit cases for being on the All-Star team. That's what happens, and that's why Ricky Venasco gets when you've got that good and you're playing that well. And so I went down it. Obviously, the number one guy that deserves an all-star bid right now is who's playing that way is Marcus Semien.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt.
If he's not the starter, then somebody's been stuffing the ballot box.
Exactly.
It's just right now, at least, he is the runaway winner at second base, or should be. And then, you know, and he's an MVP candidate.
Absolutely.
And so this guy, if he's not voted a starter, he will be on the team.
Yes.
So just go ahead. He needs to go ahead and start playing for Seattle.
And I went in ascending order who I thought deserved it more. The second one was obviously Eovaldi.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't come from fan voting. Right. That's going to come – is it come from player voting or does it come from
– Well, it's a combination. But it's player voting in the commissioner's office. They do the reserve.
He keeps doing what he's doing. He's obviously –
Yeah. Basically, the commissioner comes in to make sure every team has a representative. Right. So, you know.
Next, right. I went with Heim just because the catching position is one that I felt that I think Heim's got a really good shot to be on the All-Star team and a good case to be on the All-Star team with the numbers he's had, along with Josh Young.
Yeah. There are some good catchers in the American League. Like Salvador Perez is probably going to be the starter.
Yeah.
He hits a bunch of home runs. He's a known name. Adley Rutschman
from the Orioles. That's the guy that I would put
ahead. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Cal Raleigh, he's the hometown guy. You know, the hometown in that Seattle's hosting the game.
Yeah.
It may be tough for Jonah. But the last few years, the AL has only taken two catchers. So that's that kind of is prohibitive.
I think I had Garcia above Heim. Never mind.
Okay. Well, Adolis Garcia is going to be on the team too.
Yeah. But, my brain went. I just thought of Garcia. And wait a minute, Garcia, because RBI leader plus he's got 15 home runs.
Yeah, Adolis should be on the team. I don't know that he starts. I don't think that he's going to get voted. You know, with Aaron Judge and Mike Trout and Julio Rodriguez in Seattle, a real possibility. But Adolis Garcia has definitely earned his way onto the team.
Right,
just what he's done the first 2 months, and I don't think it'll slow down much.
Who's better than Young at third?
Yeah,
right now, seriously.
Yeah, the Rays have a third baseman, and I'm going to butcher his name. It's Isaac Paredes, I think, is his name. He has really good numbers. The Rays are a very good team.
They are a very good team.
But Rafael Devers is a big name.
Yeah.
He has the power this year, but he's hitting less than 250. The name factor, I'm sure I'm completely forgetting a third baseman right now who's very obvious, and I know, maybe like a Matt Chapman from Toronto who had a great April.
Right.
but cooled off in May. I think rookies are always faced with the obstacle of having to overcome
names.
People who are better known.
Yes. So, right.
But Josh Young should be on the team.
That's
as of right now, Josh Young should be on the All-Star team.
So then there's three others in my brain that had a case besides Seager. And those three were Tavares, who's made a case to be somewhat of an All-Star. He's not going to make the All-Star team, and we know that. But he's hitting over 300?
He had the best batting average in the American League in May.
In May. What, 368 or something like
it was
that?
It was a big number. Leody Tavares. Yeah.
Leody Tavares, yeah. And so he's made a case. You got Lowe at first base, who's made a case.
Yeah.
Who's still producing. He's been in somewhat of a little bit of a slump, but he's getting on base. He got a couple of hits the other night, and then who was my last one? People started talking about Duran. Duran wasn't who I was thinking of. Oh, I think John Gray. I had John Gray on there, who's not going to make it either, but he's another pitcher with some great numbers that he's done.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are pretty good.
I mean, Dunning has a case, but he just doesn't miss. Like, is he a starter? Is he a reliever? He's not a closer.
Yeah, right. So, you don't have to take a closer. You can take the best guy, and he's been very valuable to the Rangers at the very least. Gray actually has a decent case. He went, I think he went 4-0 with a 195 in May.
Yeah,
pretty solid. If he can keep it up,
only outdone by Eovaldi.
Right, Eovaldi's going to get him. If Eovaldi's not the pitcher of the month, and this is June 2nd, voting should be announced at some point today. If he's not the pitcher of the month, something's really wrong.
It really is.
Yeah, but. You're right. I mean, good teams have good players, and good players should be on the All-Star team, and people should want to see good players.
Exactly.
And furthermore, the Rangers, I'm guessing people still aren't sold on the Rangers based on the last three seasons, and I get it. But
Power Rankings has them number two right now.
If you've been watching this team, you know that this team's good. And I think that if fans are like, oh, hey, the Rangers, who's good for them? They should, you know, watch the All-Star game because the Rangers are going to be pretty well represented.
Right, and I'll tell you what, and you're right in that people aren't sold yet because I saw a thing the other day where they were talking about Rookie of the Year candidates. And without a doubt, Josh Jung is the second. They've got, what's his name with Arizona, the Diamondbacks. Corbin Carroll is the number one rookie, and then they've got Josh Jung as the second best rookie. But when they went down this list about Rookie of the Year chances, and I forget who wrote it and who should win it, who's the long shot, instead of just having Josh Jung as the American League Rookie of the Year, they had two of them.
Oh, really?
They had two that were tied, and Young's numbers were – I mean, it's – yeah. It, to me, it was like, how is Jung not – right now, I mean, right now you're not going out on a limb to go, right now Josh Jung's the Rookie of the Year in the American League.
Yeah, I mean, and he could be.
I think it was maybe Henderson. No, it was the pitcher for Houston, Wood.
Brown.
Yeah, it was the pitcher. Didn't he just get rocked the other day? But or yeah. Maybe he's hurt or something.
You know, he. I think he had a 4.78 ERA in May because I voted for AL Rookie of the Month, and I specifically went to look for him to make sure I wasn't overlooking any batters, and he was the. He wasn't even the best rookie pitcher in the month of May. He's very good.
Yeah. He is good. He's kind of the one that took the place of Verlander after leaving. This is the guy that kind of stepped into the rotation.
Yeah. But the guy that could be Rookie of the Year is Masahiro Yoshida.
Yes, who's from Boston.
29 from Japan, where he was an all-star and a really good player.
Right.
But
who I wanted the Rangers to get, by the way.
But he had a really good May. He didn't hit for as much power as Josh did, but he hit like 350. So you don't know. And there's always the East Coast bias. And so maybe Josh Jung doesn't get Rookie of the Month this month. And it'd be wrong if he didn't, but it's not a clear-cut race like Pitcher of the Month should be.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, look. Anything else before we get
Grant? No, let's go get Grant on here.
All right, guys.
It'll be fun. It's going to be fun.
Right after there, right after this, guys, the Frisco Rough Riders are going to bring you Grant Anderson right when we get back. We'll be right after this. And as always, guys, Grant Anderson is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders, who have Friday night and Sunday fireworks. And don't forget Thirsty Thursdays. Frisco Rough Riders are in town right now. Grant Anderson brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. All right, guys, and joining us right now from, I guess, a hotel out there that the Rangers having at, it's the brand new Texas Ranger, made his debut this week on the road. It's Grant Anderson. Grant, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Getting ready for the day, getting ready to get to the ballpark in a little bit.
Have you come off of your cloud? Are you still riding high? What's going on?
No, I mean, I tried to get over that after one day and, you know, get focused up and ready for tonight.
All right. Obviously, we're going to get into you here in a little bit, but a lot of people, probably their first experience was with you was Tuesday night, striking out 7 of 9 batters. What was that whole experience like for you? I mean, you came in into a tough situation. What was that like for you?
I was a little nervous at first, for sure. You know, obviously, first game, in the majors, I feel like everybody's a little nervous. But it was fun, you know. That's why you like playing the game. You want to be put in those situations and get those experiences. And it was to me, that's, you know, being in tight games is fun. You know, nobody likes to watch a blowout, you know what I mean? So it was fun. And, you know, like I said, I got to give a lot of credit to Jonah. You know, he did a great job on the play. He kind of helped me focus up a little bit and get back down to a manageable level. I tried to execute the pitches and it worked out for us.
So you run out from the bullpen, which is kind of far away at Comerica. what does Bruce Bochy say to you? What do the guys say to you?
Bochy was, I mean, he's pretty plain and simple. He said, tell me the situation as the managers always do. And he said, don't worry about that guy on second base. The only job right now is to get the batter and get us in the dugout. And then he walked back to the dugout, and that was it. And then,
that's cool.
and then, Josh Young actually was probably the most, helpful for me. You know, like I said, I was nervous, but the whole time I could hear him after every pitch, good job, G, get back in the zone, get back in the zone. You know, I think that just that shows a lot of leadership from him. You know, obviously we played together in the minors a few times, and he was the only familiar face on the infield, really. So I think he understood that, and it really helped me out a lot.
I mean, you've probably seen the faces before. You're probably like, holy cow, that's Corey Seager. That's Marcus Semien. I can only imagine. And you said afterward on television that getting that first out was huge. You took a deep breath, and then you just went back out there and I don't want to say it was easy. It's never easy, but I guess you're a lot more relaxed. I guess that's the best way of putting it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, after that first one, I think that seeing the first guy get strike out in a tough spot, it kind of gives you a little more confidence, and you realize you can really do it. And Jonah, like I said, was just, I mean, he's incredible back there. So, he helped me out. He helped me get a few calls, and I studied the scouting report and everything before the game, but he helped me really, put it into work. And like I said, I just tried to hit the spots, and it worked out.
It's pretty interesting what you said about him getting you some calls, because at Triple A they have the automated balls and strikes.
Yep.
It seems like you would prefer the Jonah way, the major league way. I mean, it just seems like that's a, I don't know. How do you feel about the ABS? I don't know that I care for it.
It's 100% accurate there, but I mean, the zone, they also shrunk the zone this year, like 2 or 3 inches. So, it does help though. It helps coming back up here when you have a bigger zone and there's no automated zone. It kind of helps you, like I said, get those calls that, you throw it a little farther to the left or to the right, maybe still get the call and you wouldn't AAA.
Yeah.
So it's pretty helpful in the end of the day. But when you're in AAA, not a ton of guys really like it, you know what I mean?
I hear you. So you go about it a little differently. You're not your traditional arm slot. How do you evolve into the way you throw now? When did that process start?
So I got dropped down sidearm in college.
Okay.
And for the most part, the delivery is pretty much the same. I'm a little more turned now, but I've always had a little turn, and I've always had high leg kick and separate the hands. And so I guess I started freshman year, halfway through my freshman year of college, when I got transitioned from a position player to a pitcher. And then from a pitcher to a sidearm pitcher.
So you were at McNeese State.
Uh-huh.
Why did they suggest it? They'd be like, hey, your slider might move better. Was there any explanation as to why they suggested it?
I was really inconsistent as as a true freshman, and I actually pitched pretty well in the fall when they had transitioned me over, because I was a catcher initially, and then they were like, I'm just gonna be honest with you, which I'm thankful they were. Like, we got three or four catchers there, three juniors and a senior, at catcher. The chances of you getting playing time are pretty slim. But if you want to play, you can pitch. And then I pitched, but it was like a first game I might go punch out the side in relief, and then the next game might give up 8 runs and not get out. And he finally told me, one day is an off day, and me and my twin brother were playing catch in the field, and him and my pitching coach came out there, and I'll never forget it. They were like, hey, have you ever thought about throwing from a lower angle? And I was like, how much lower? Tell me, like a little bit lower. And he was like, no, like sidearm. And I was like, no. And then I got really frustrated, and I went and called my dad. I was like, oh, I'm going to transfer. I don't want to play here anymore. And he said, look, your coach is right. They got 16 pitchers, and right now you're the number 16. So, like, goal is to get drafted and you want to play in the majors one day, you got to get on the field and, you know, you got to take a look in the mirror and say, is this what I got to do to be better, or am I going to run away from it and blame the coach and blame everybody else? And, you know, it turned my life, you know, turn my life around, turn my career around. So, you know, I'm really thankful that that happened. And I'm thankful my honest with me. Yeah.
Let's give him a shout out. Who are the coaches?
Justin Hill is the head coach at McNeese there, still there. And Corey Barton, he was our pitching coach at the time. And I think, I'm going to get it wrong, but I think he's at Murray State now.
The Racers. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, you know, he's bouncing around. He was at Rice and La Tech for a few years, but yeah. Yeah, well, both of those guys, they really, you know, they were honest with me. My parents were honest with me. You know, I had a lot of people that kept it real with me, you know what I mean? And it changed my career, so.
That's great. That's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you strike out a lot of guys. At least you did this year, like a 43% strikeout rate at AAA, and then obviously 7 of 9. What is there a pitch you go to? You're like, all right, I gotta get a strikeout. Is there a pitch you go to?
Not really. I think, you know, 3 of my pitches I command, you know, extremely well, and one of them, I command it well, but I don't like throwing it in the zone for a strike. That's the split change. So it kind of depends on the batter. You know, if it's a guy like obviously, you know, with Detroit, I knew Baez, the out pitch is a slider away. So I knew I had to be able to command that pitch at that bat. And, you know, it worked. And then with lefties, it can get a little tricky because, you know, they tend to have better numbers against side armers. If you're a side armor, the opposite handedness usually hits really well off of you.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on the, you know, if that left-handed batter doesn't hit 4 seams up well, we'll use a 4-seam up. Or if he doesn't hit the change up low and away, we'll go to change up low and away. It really depends on that. But for me, I think overall execution is always going to be the winner. You know, if you have a pitch and you execute it, it might be your worst pitch, but if you execute it well, you get it out and you can throw your best pitch. And if you throw it right down the middle, you're going to get hurt. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
To me, you know, execution is always above selection.
You're not the only guy who does it differently. Chase Lee was also your teammate in Round Rock. Is he lower than you on the arm slot?
Yeah, he's a little lower than me.
But are you guys still able to compare notes?
Oh yeah, we play catch together, and we're always talking about, you know, how to make this pitch better. How to get these certain guys out and everything. He's a really intelligent pitcher, really intelligent guy, and we're always bouncing ideas off each other.
Well, that's fun. I mean, yeah. I would imagine that if you're a side armor, it's kind of lonely.
Yeah,
or it could be. I mean, I don't know, but so you've set an extremely high bar. So obviously, you're not going to strike out 7 of 9 every game. But you said you already put that behind you. So what you are you just looking forward to your next outing? That's what it is now?
Yeah. I mean, that's the game, you know. I mean, you can't rely on one outing, you know what I mean? You gotta prove, especially me. I mean, that's my first game. I gotta prove that, you know, I really actually need to stay here. I need to belong here and help this team win. And you know, at the end of the day, that's the ultimate goal, is to help the team win, help the team win a World Series, you know, get to the playoffs. So I'm just worried about Seattle now. You know, I want to get the reports and stuff today and go over the lineup and everything and focus on getting the outs when I need to get the outs when they call my name.
So today is your first game, your first home game with the Rangers.
Yep.
Have you been to Globe Life Field?
So I was there in 19 whenever it was under construction. They had like the prospect camp or something.
I remember that. Yeah.
We got to take a tour of it while I was under construction, but other than that, I have not been to it, though.
You got somebody giving you a ride? I mean, how are you to get there?
No, I got my truck here, yeah.
okay. Yeah, no, I didn't know if maybe Frisco on an off day you'd come down or something like that. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, you're going to get to see, it's awesome. For you players, we don't even get to see how cool it is. You guys got some cool stuff coming up that you're going to get to see today.
And you've got a roof. That's the best thing. Because it is hot as hell outside.
Yes.
I started my life earlier. That's the first time I'll play indoors, you know, ever.
Is that right? Okay. Cause, yeah, but I'm telling you, it's,
I don't know if it'll be close to there or not, but
you've played a day game at Frisco. You know how that's like the hottest place on the face of the earth during it. You're really gonna enjoy this roof.
Yeah, growing up in Beaumont, it gets pretty hot and humid down there. So
yeah.
I'm going to guess that it's probably going to be closed because there is like a small chance of rain, and it's going to be up at 90 degrees. So,
yeah,
very small chance.
All right. All right. So this is how we do our show. I don't know. I asked the baseball questions, and then John asked the baseball fun questions.
Absolutely.
So it's fun time.
Now it's time to get fun.
Not that this has been terrible.
No, not at all. And by the way, and let me start it out with this. Congratulations, Grant. That's so exciting. It's fun to watch anybody make their major league debut. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Okay. You're from Port Arthur, Texas, Beaumont, right?
So I was born in Port Arthur, but I was raised in Beaumont. Yeah.
Where'd you go to school? What high school?
West Orange Stark.
That's kind of a football school. Did you play any other sports in high school?
That's a football skiing in West Orange. I did not know. I played basketball and baseball.
And that's it. Did you play basketball through high school, or did you just concentrate baseball by the end?
My dad was the assistant basketball coach at our school, so we played 2 years. But he's huge, and he said, "You guys aren't too short to go to college basketball, so we'll just focus on it."
How big is he?
He's lost a lot of weight now, but he's about 6'5", 6'6", like maybe 300 pounds.
Oh, okay. Wow, he is big.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so why you're so well mannered.
He's lost a lot of weight. He's probably more like being like 270 something now. He's lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
Okay, so you went to McNeese State, you were a catcher going out of there. Did you have any other schools interested in you?
Yeah, we had a lot. We both me and my brother did, but at the end of the day, my dad, you know, he was like, just think about me and your mom, please, you know, we don't want to have to, you know, drive one of us split up to go see one, and if y'all could stay together, you know,
right.
Think about it. He did, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Lamar's right there.
Lamar, that's one of the, but you never want to stay
at home. At home. I hear you.
You don't want 100%. Mom and dad popping in at any time. That's what you know. Okay, so you were drafted by the Seattle Mariners in the 21st round. What year was that? 18? 2018. So this is always a fun question I love to ask somebody. So you weren't like in New York for the draft where they have all the top 20 or whatever that go there. How did you find out? Where did you find out, and how did you find out you'd been drafted?
I was in Beaumont at our house. I'm trying to think who was there. So my mom and my brother was playing, coaching the state championship game for 4A. Jasper, Texas, there. Jasper was playing. So my mom and sister went there. And my niece went there. And then my dad and my twin brother were there. And we're bumpkin, so we had to figure out how to connect the phone to the TV. And, finally, we got it on, and we just let it play, and we were just sitting there, you know, talking about hunting or fishing or something. And then, you know, I got a couple texts from different scouts, and they're like, "Hey, be ready in the next hour." So we kind of locked it in, and then we heard it on TV. It wasn't like playing; it was just a MLB draft logo, you know, and they had
right.
So that's.
Did you get a call beforehand or right afterwards?
So, Seattle had talked to me in like 3 days.
Okay.
You know, they texted me like the day before the draft. And we're like, "Hey, we could take you on day two. We could take you on day three." But like, you know, like I think like the Mets and the Rockies actually were like calling me every like 10 minutes. And then like I think the Giants and a couple other teams were all, you know, texting me every so often, like, "Hey, maybe this round. Hey, maybe this round." And finally, it came up, and the Rockies guy was like, "Hey, we're taking you as our next pick, 21st round." It was like, I think it was the two picks before the Mariners or after. Really? And he texted me back. You know, like, we have, you know, super slow like we're out in the stick, so it's like super slow loading. And the guy texts me, he's like, "Hey, congrats, you know, have a great career," and blah blah. I'm like, "What the heck is this guy talking about?" Like 2 minutes later, it came up on TV. My dad's like, "What happened to the Rockies? I thought the Rockies were taking you." I was like, "I don't know. I guess the Mariners drafted me. I don't know."
So but, was your brother also trying to get in that draft?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was, but he had like I think one team talk to him that year, and that was it. But he got signed the next year as an undrafted free agent.
So. Okay, all right. So that's what that was. Okay, so this is these are some fun questions coming up that I love to do. So you were traded to Texas, in the Connor Sajak deal that you were traded. Where were you at when you were? How did you find out you'd been traded?
I was in Charleston, West Virginia. I don't know if you've ever been there.
The Toast Man.
Yeah, yeah.
I've told you about him,
yeah,
right?
You told me about the Toast
Man.
He's still there, I believe. So we went – we were apartment hunting all day. And I was at this apartment complex, like the only one that's really, you know, worth paying money to stay at in Charleston. And, dude, me and this lady had just got into it about the – you know, they were like – we thought they were scamming the other guys and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, signing nothing until I know if I'm going to get approved and all this. And finally, you know, we get it done. And we go back to the mall. It was right across the street from Hubs Hill. And me and two other guys were getting food. And they were like, "Hey, we're going to get this." I was like, "No. I'm going to get this and go find a table for us." So I'm at the table and I put the tray down. I pull my phone out and some number is like, "Hey, call me ASAP." You know, it's all caps. I'm like, "Oh, crap. I'm about to get sent down or something or whatever." And it's Andy McKay and he called. He's like, "Hey, Grant, what are you doing?" I was like, "I'm just eating lunch." And he's like, "I'm about to throw you a curveball here." I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "Hey, we got traded to the Texas Rangers." And I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "Well, the Rangers are gonna call you in about 10 minutes." And then I told him, I was like, "Hey, man, I just paid like $500 for this deposit. I'm gonna get the cash." You know, this is at the time we didn't have any deal really? Like we got now.
Yeah,
that was like my whole first paycheck, and yeah. I was like, "Am I gonna get reimbursed?" He's like, "Oh, the Rangers will help you out," and hung up. I was like, "Oh, that's great. I've never seen that again." But. They got me hooked up after that.
Oh, that's nice.
Where did you? So were you immediately like they called you and that night you were on a plane or what happened?
The next morning, well, initially it was April Fool's Day. It was April 1st, and so the guys I was with them, they're like, I was like, "That's got traded, dude." And they're all like, "All right, nice and joke." I'm serious, dude. I got to go back to the hotel. I didn't even get to. I had to, you know, pack my food up and run over there, and then they got me on a plane at like 5 o'clock in the morning out of Charleston to from Charleston, West Virginia to Charlotte, North Carolina.
I'm about to say you were probably Charlotte. That's always where I would go. And I used to fly into Charleston a lot. And you would go to Charlotte and fly over. It's probably U.S. Air. You were probably flying back then, if that's even around.
Well, yeah. U.S. Air was purchased by
American. So it's probably American.
Yeah.
It was a small plane with like just the two seats on each side.
Yep. I've flown on those many times. Yep. They're about 16, 18. Okay. So big league debut. So this is, I love this question. How did you find out you were going to be a big leaguer?
This is a pretty cool story, I think. Yeah.
So we're in Albuquerque on Sunday and I was in the bullpen. So it was like the fourth inning. And my twin brother, they had called my twin brother up there. And we were just me, him, and you guys. I don't know if you guys met Mark Church. But,
you know, yes.
And then Grant Wolfram, he's, you know, we're all really close. And we were just sitting there, you know, shooting the breeze. I don't even know what we're talking about. And our bullpen coach comes running around the corner. He's like, "Grant, you got to grab your glove and run to the dugout. The trainer needs to talk to you." And I was like, not very funny. You know, because obviously bullpen, there's a lot of shenanigans going on, you know.
Right.
And he's like, "No, I'm serious." I was like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Take the pitch con with you, too." And then I was like, "All right, what are we – wow, like, this is weird." You know what I mean? And then the whole time he's like, I'm just sitting there. And of course, it's the longest two outs I've ever had to sit through in my life because there's one out. And my brother and Kurt and Wolfie were all like, oh, what do you think happened? You think you got caught up? Blah, blah, blah. You think you got traded? And I'm like, I have no idea, man. I just want to take this pitch comp to the dugout and find out. And then finally I run down there and they were like, hey, give us a signal if you get caught up and give us a signal if you got traded. And so the signal if I got caught up, well, I was supposed to take my hat off and wave it like. The other one was supposed to be a thumbs down if I got traded.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I run down there and I give the pitch comm to our pitching coach, Borkowski, and then he handed it to Doug, and Doug was like, hey, just make sure you weren't fooling around with anything down there. You got to get on a plane in an hour. You're going to Detroit. You got caught up to the majors. And I mean, that was like, you know, it was incredible because the whole team was in the dugout. We just came off the field. And, you know, it was a really fun experience.
Did you Did you wave your hat?
Yeah, sure did. The
whole I would think that's in a bitch off right away.
It started going crazy. It was fun. I
mean, a lot of these, we ask all the guys that come on, a lot of these are – like they find out at the night at the hotel or after a game. You found out in a game.
Yeah. That's exciting. I can't imagine. Who was your first call? Your wife?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to know. She needs to know. And that's good. And I guess mom and dad, did they get a chance to go up to Detroit to see you?
Yeah. The whole family showed up. Yeah.
That's incredible. And, you know, your brother just got called up to Frisco. So,
yeah, last night.
Yeah, so that'll be awesome. He'll be here in town too. Maybe you guys will get a chance to get some lunch or something while he's in town. Now that y'all will be not that far away from each other. You know what? I think we've held him a pretty long time.
Yeah, let's get
to that. I got a lot of fun stuff to ask you, but we're planning on Grant Anderson coming on this show a couple times.
Yeah.
So we'll come back. We'll get into next time. We'll be talking about favorite foods and stuff like that and stuff you do in your spare time, but we'll get him out of here today.
Yeah, but we got to ask him the question.
The question.
Yeah.
This is the question that we get from everybody. It's a fun one. It's what is something that nobody knows about Grant Anderson? And let me give you some examples. Jack Leiter hates peanut butter.
Which he probably knew.
He might know that. Who was some of the other ones? Davis Winsell got his finger cut off
when he was three or four years old.
So we hear these things from that. What is something that nobody knows about Grant Anderson? And you can't say I have a twin brother because we know that.
Nobody knows. That I'm bilingual.
Really? Spanish, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Good. That's a great – dude, I wish I was bilingual right now.
I think I'm trilingual right now, actually. So,
what's the third?
Japanese.
Oh wow.
Oh, cool. Did you learn that? Did you learn that in college, or what? Did you? Are you?
I learned in rookie ball. So I bring a notebook out. I had a teammate named Edwin. He's a Dominican, but he grew up in New York for like 12 years, so he spoke perfect English. And my twin actually had learned first in college. He bought a book. McGraw-Hill book like we have in school here in Texas, and it's called Teaching Yourself Spanish. He read it from front to back, spoke Spanish perfectly. I was like, man, I want to do that. And since I got drafted, I knew, you know, there's a lot of Latino players.
Absolutely.
So it'd be really cool. You know, what if they're talking about something that can help me? I have no idea what they're saying. So I brought a little notebook, kind of like this one, and a pen out to the bullpen every day. And if they said a word I'd never heard before, I'd ask, Edwin, what is that word? You know, and I said, okay, what does it mean? And like, how would I say it in a sentence? And the next day I would come back and I'd try to use it when I was talking to somebody, and I picked it up pretty quick. So
that's brilliant.
That's unbelievable. What about Japanese? I mean, how did you learn that?
So I'm learning it right now. I mean, it's still.
Okay. So you're learning Japanese. Okay.
So, Yoshi's translator, Seiya, actually, and Yoshi himself were helping me a lot in Round Rock. Like every day we practice. And I have a notebook here. Actually, I'm about to pull out my backpack in a few minutes. And I'm just learning there's three alphabets, you know, in Japanese. So I'm almost finished memorizing and learning the first one. So it's a lot of practice, though.
Yeah. Well, when Yu Darvish was with the Rangers, the Japanese writers were always trying to teach me how to speak Japanese.
Oh God!
And they'd give me little phrases here and there to say to you, and I think they were setting me up to like say something I had no idea. Like, just apparently one year, in the off season, there were photos in Japan that it looked like Yu Darvish had gained weight, and they were calling him fat. And so they had me say fat to Yu Darvish.
Oh God!
Like, come on. But I had one more question.
Okay,
who was first? You or your brother?
My yes. brother. I'm the baby. Yep.
Oh, the baby.
How many seconds?
45 seconds.
Dude,
holy crap.
His brother went out and he said, wait a minute, you ain't leaving me in here.
I'm coming.
I'm on my way. Don't leave me in here. What are you doing? That's fantastic. All right. So he gets to call you his baby brother for 45 seconds. That's hysterical.
That's pretty funny. I never heard that.
That is awesome. Grant, listen, it's so good to meet you. I can't wait to meet you out at the ball field today. Jeff will see you in the clubhouse. I hope I get there in time for that. If not, I'll see you while you guys are out there running around and stretching. I'll be out by the dugout. So fun to meet you. Congratulations. Good luck in the big leagues. Thanks to the Round Rock Express for sponsoring this is the Frisco Rough Riders who sponsor our guest today, Grant Anderson, right-hand pitcher for the Texas Rangers. Grant, thanks, buddy, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, and a big thank you to Grant Anderson for joining us there. Now, guys, we are going to go down in the bus leagues, brought to you by the Round Rock Express, who bring you the Down in the Bus League segment for the month of June.
And July.
Yep. Big thanks to the Round Rock Express AAA affiliate for the Texas Rangers. Okay, let's go down. Let's go over everyone at every part. There's a couple of people I want to talk about, especially down east, 26-18.
Yeah.
7-3 of their last 10. They're about the best one right now in the way they're performing. They've won three in a row. Who? Tell me about Aiden Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a lot of strikeouts and innings, and he's got like a 3 ERA.
He is like Josh Steven was an undrafted free agent in 2020.
So he's out of 2020. Okay.
Yeah, and so they got him young. The first time I saw him, you know, he's built like a telephone pole. You know,
he's just tall, thin.
Okay. And he's definitely grown the last few years. He throws the football a lot. I don't know if you remember in spring training.
Yeah, those guys were out there.
It was basically he throws the football before he pitches. He believes in that.
Tom House used to.
Right, yeah. Right. You just kind of take – he's one of the guys that you take your time with, and it's clicking. You know, I mean, that's just what happens. These guys, they get a good foundation in Arizona, whether it be in instructs or extended spring training – all the above, Arizona Complex League, and then they finally get pushed a little bit, and he's responded well to it. That whole pitching staff's pretty good. You know, Jose Corniel, who was in another trade with Seattle for Rafael Montero, he had a great May. He's actually, his birthday's later this month, but even though he was acquired, I think, golly, in December of 20, he's actually younger than Brock Porter.
Really?
And that's kind of a surprise when you're like, hey, holy cow, this guy's younger than the guy who was just drafted last year. But, yeah. You know, that's just the way, you know, he came from Latin America where the Mariners signed him. He was a top 20 Mariners prospect when the Mariners traded him for Montero.
And it would have taken that at the time.
Montero took some time for him to also – get it together. I mean, he pitched in down east last year. He's back for the second time. And I would not be surprised at all if he's in Hickory pretty soon. Good stuff, good control. You know, his velocity, they expect it to grow like in the next couple of years.
What about Curry's velocity? Do you know where it's at?
I don't know, but it's...
I tell you what, and I said this the other day, that someone put a video out, and it was probably Tep or somebody always gets those little videos out, and they were showing him. His ball seems to rise a little bit as he throws his fastball. He had a good slider, by the way. It looked good. And people were trying to guess what the velo was, and they said 93, 94. I said, even if that's 93, 94, that's one of those high spin rate fastballs.
Yeah.
That's those guys, like somebody that was good with that was, what's his name, the left-hander that's back with the Rangers this year that was on the Giants. That came up and started and had the thumb blister that ruined it in 19. He came up with I just went blank.
Well, I've obviously gotten very
Joe Palumbo.
Joe Palumbo.
Had all very right. high spin rate. and could even if he was hitting 94, 95, it looked 97, 98 because his spin rate was so high. This kid looked like he has a high spin rate on Curry. Yeah. And Cordell. I mean,
but, you know, Curry might have some extension things, too, because he's so long.
And he is long. How big is he? How tall is he? He looks tall.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 6'6". Okay. He's got good size.
Hey, you know, while we're talking about it, you talked about Porter. He came out of a start. He went out there, left in the fourth inning, started to warm up, and then left. Turns out it's a leg thing or something like that. It wasn't a big deal.
He's only got 13. He only pitched 13 innings in May, but he didn't allow any runs.
Right.
Any earned runs. They're completely fine with Brock Porter. I brought him up yesterday in a conversation, and there's no concerns at all whatsoever.
Well, it somebody thought it was a leg thing, and I think it turned out to be just his leg. He pulled himself. He warmed up, and then he pulled himself out. And then, but yeah, he's like ready to go the next start or whatever. Yeah, so I didn't know if you had heard something. No. Well, you talked to him yesterday, and it didn't even came up. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But down there, Anthony Gutierrez is in Arizona. He hurt his elbow diving head first into home plate a few weeks ago. It was affecting him. If you look at he hasn't played since May 24th, but if you look at the five games before that, he was like 1-for-20. And it was affecting his swing. So they sent him to Arizona. He's swinging his bat normally fine. They're going to do a little mechanical tweak and get him sent back out here in the next week or two. So
when does ACL start?
It starts very soon.
So maybe he'll get some at-bats there, maybe play a game or two there. Possible.
Yeah.
And then just, you know what? He's down there low. Do whatever you got to do to get him going. Yeah, get him back to Arizona and get him healthy.
Yeah.
Because that's a name. He's a good player. I don't care what you say. 1-for-20. Everybody goes through a streak. I mean, good Lord. But that kid, get him healthy and get him back. And I'm ready for ACL to start. We're getting into – because I want to see when the DSL starts.
It starts Monday for sure.
I want to see Sebastian. I want to see what Sebastian does. You know, we've built him up so big. If he doesn't hit 1,000 for the first month and have 74 home runs, I think we're going to be disappointed. But, no, he's such a good kid and a big specimen.
Yeah.
And, golly, I'm excited to see him. Hickory. High A, we're at Hickory, 17-27, 5-5 in their last 10. That's a lot better than they were a couple of weeks ago. They're starting to play some 500 ball. They lost their last two. Who do we need to talk about in Hickory?
Well, Dane Acker is back, so that's good. That's always important. Tucker Mitchell, who was hitting like 600 for a while there in Hickory,
he's catcher, right?
He's been moved up. I think we talked about Abby Ortiz last week. He's been moved up to Hickory.
To Frisco?
No, to Hickory.
Oh, no. Abby Ortiz came from down east to Hickory.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah. So
he's the first baseman.
Yeah. You know, Max Acosta, he cooled off a little bit in May, but like not much. He still hit 290 something. So he just keeps on keeping on, and that's good. But you know, Acker's the one to watch there. I mean, Mitch Bratt's fine too, but Acker's the one to watch.
Yeah,
because he pitched so well early in spring training before he was hurt. The Rangers, I think, really want to step on the gas with him. So, Dane Acker, that's your guy to watch. Plus, he's been on our show two times, and like, he's got a lot of views. Dane, a lot of people like.
Oh, you got too, right? So for all you local OU people, I like Acker a lot. What a nice guy. Yeah, he was a really nice guy. We did it at spring training. He came on. Okay, let's go to Frisco. They're 20-27, 3-7 in their last 10, and they've lost 4. Those are great numbers for the most talented team in all of minor league baseball. But you know what? Starting pitching has not been the problem here. I think the bats have gone a little cold,
sure,
which happens. And relief pitchers are getting promoted, and things are happening. But I tell you what, Jack had another good outing the other day. So did Owen White. Struck out 5. He had did he go 6 innings, struck out 5, and didn't walk but one batter.
Yeah.
May gave up 1 run, or did he give up any runs? Jack gave up 1 home run the other night. But, no, the starting pitching, Jack has continued to look well, look good. And he's throwing the ball over the plate, which is the main thing. And so is Owen White after we talked to him. So, you know, if he'd come on today, he'd probably be in a little better mood.
We straightened him out a little bit, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of the bats, you know, Evan Carter cooled off a little bit.
Yeah.
It would have been hard for him to maintain that pace. He struck out a little bit more than he probably would like and is probably expected. But, he's going to be fine. Thomas Ajayi had a really, really good May.
Yeah, he did.
That's good to see. Acuña just kind of is going along.
He's hurt or something.
Well, his power hasn't come in yet. Aaron Zavala's there. Dustin Harris, names you know.
Yeah.
I think Harris is starting to perform a little bit better. And like we said last week, he's stealing bases left and right. So,
yeah.
He
was a minor league player of the year a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was just a bad month all around for Frisco.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what June brings. But the important thing there is Jack Leiter's pitching well.
Yep. And Owen. I mean, these are two of your top pitching prospects, and Owen White's been pitching well, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jack Leiter
pitching well was
the most important.
Yeah, number two overall pick with that kind of, yes, that without a doubt. Go to Round Rock. Anybody else there? I don't think we've hit everybody. Round Rock, 29 and 25. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They won one. Wenzel's kind of started to.
Yeah, he was the player of the week in the Pacific Coast League last week. They were in Albuquerque where the ball flies, but he came back home and – hit a home run again to start the homestand. He's pretty good, man. They've been working on a swing. They think he's comfortable with the adjustments he's made. But the most important thing, as always, with Davis Wenzel is his health.
Right.
And he has not been on the injured list this year. He hasn't been slowed down by anything. He had wrist injuries, which a wrist injury for a hitter is a big deal.
Yeah.
I think Evan Carter, who's been hit in that wrist area a few times, is finding that out right now. It's a big deal. And if that's behind him, he plays well defensively wherever you put him.
Right.
And he's got a chance to, if he can hit, he's got a chance to be a nice big league player.
Right.
Maybe not with the Rangers, but somewhere.
Right.
He has a career in front of him. If A, he stays healthy, and B, he continues with this trajectory that he's on offensively.
Right.
So that's good news. That's good news because we like Davis.
Yeah, well, and I tell you, the guy that's really putting it together down there is Foscue.
Yeah,
he's been playing a lot of third.
They need to move him around a little bit. He's even played a little first base.
Yeah.
He's just a hitter. I mean, he doesn't strike out.
Right.
That's great. He's going to put good contact on the bat for the most part, or on the ball. he's a good one. Sam Huff had a really good May. He's, there are names that down there who are doing good things. It's just right now they're blocked.
Right.
And I think for Huff, it'll open up next season. I don't know if Mitch Garver returns.
Right.
He's going to be a free agent. This might be the opening that Huff needs,
Right.
But he still has some things to figure out down there with the bat. But he's been hitting pretty well. So, and then they're all guys that have been on the show.
Yeah.
One thing to note, Cole Wynn is in Arizona. He had a blister that needed to get cooled off, and then they're making a couple mechanical adjustments. But – they need to make a
head adjustment too.
I don't think so. I think
it's just mechanics.
They're pleased with. They're not worried.
So they're still seeing the velo, the movement, what they're wanting to see out of his pitching.
Yeah, I mean obviously they want him to throw more strikes, and they think the mechanical adjustments will help him with that. But and maybe there is a little mental thing to it too. But I don't see the Rangers worrying about Colwyn like some people might be worrying about Colwyn.
I'm worrying about Cohen, so I'm going to defer to front office, who's not as worried as John Moore from the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast.
Well, okay, you're close, but I would just what I hear about him is,
well, right now
they're working on it.
Yeah, and right now the starting pitching at the big league level is fine, even without they had Bradford who made the spot starts, who by the way had another good start.
Yeah, that's good.
Now that we're bringing that up, he had a good start. And then, Dane Dunning who's filled in. So Cole hasn't been needed and not been able to step up. So you got to get him right.
Yeah.
And so his stuff, we know his stuff's good. His stuff was good all the way to AAA. I mean, he performed at every level. So That's good. Get him to Arizona. Get him going because, I mean, this is a premier arm if you get him.
Yeah.
And then you hope it's not something like Spencer Howard, who was top prospect going up and all of a sudden. But now he's coming back, too. But yeah. We're not talking big league stuff.
Glenn Otto's coming back. But, well, that it's applicable because they're going to be at AAA.
Sure.
And if they're going to be working as relievers, which you would think at least Howard would be working as a reliever.
He might be set up to be a good reliever.
Anyway, that's going to block like an Alex Spies who's pitched well at Frisco.
Oh man.
From coming up to AAA right away, but anyway, we're down on the bus leagues and Otto and Howard are going to be at AAA at some point here.
It'll be interesting to watch
rehabbing or semi-permanently until they can get to the major
leagues. Right. Well, they're optioned there. So they're not right. They're in
AAA. Well, they're on assignment. But yes, they have options remaining. So, right. So yeah, they'll be able to come up and down as needed.
Right. And Howard may be a good one for the bullpen. I mean, look, when his stuff is on, he's got good stuff. He's another one that's like when he's got the stuff. It's a matter of harnessing the stuff and getting it going right. So does Otto, by the way, who's got some good velo too. Yeah.
And it'll play up in shorter stints.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because they'll be able to throw harder and
it'll, and it'll, not face somebody should, three times.
It should play up, you know. Yeah, I mean, I had no problems with Otto last year. He gave up a few too many home runs, but you know, he was a young guy in a tough situation, and he posted and made his start. So good for him. And
boy, that trade's turning out to be unbelievable. Yeah. The only guy is Halver, who's actually performing decently.
Yeah,
he's the only one that hadn't made his big league debut out of that entire group.
Yeah,
and now what's his name? Gallo plays for the Twins. So.
Yeah.
Anytime the Yankees suffer that, for me as a Ranger fan, I know you're media. You're not like me. I'm enjoying it.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I didn't know. Speaking of Otto, you know, his wife had a baby, and then Dunning's wife had a baby. I didn't know about DeGrom. I don't know where I've been, but
no, he took off. So the last word was he left the team Friday, or not Friday. Today's Friday. The other day he left the team and was going to be back Monday. To reassess his stuff, but his wife was having their third child.
Oh, good for her.
So he flew to Florida for what? Look, he's on the aisle anyway, so it didn't hurt. Yeah. But obviously, go be with your wife. He would have left if he was healthy. He would be in Florida now.
Right.
So to do that. So maybe he's just faking this arm injury because he knew his wife's about to have
it. Well, that's kind of interesting, you know. He's on the injured list, so you don't have to put him on the paternity list.
Nope.
And I'm sure he's got somebody he throws to down there. And if not, he can just go over to Stetson and where he went to school and close to where he lives and might be actually in the same city where he lives, the land, and go down there and find him a catcher and get in a bullpen session and send video of it or do it on video for the Rangers to watch, whatever. Complex League starts Monday.
Okay.
That's why I've been looking at my phone.
All right.
DSL starts Monday.
All right.
So
those are the babies.
The Rangers will have two teams in the DSL, the red and the blue. I think just one complex league team, although I think some teams do have two. But anyway, there you go. That concludes Down on the Farm or the Bus Leagues brought to you.
Brought to you by
AAA Round Rock.
That's right.
Shout out to Reed Ryan and Chris Almendarez for – coming through on that one. I don't know how to sell this stuff. And we kind of got in on the back end of
and now we're really opening it up to selling.
But we got in on the back end of the Frisco and Round Rock budget planning. So
next year,
once the season ends, I'm going to be saying, hey, let's do this again.
Yeah, let's do it the right way. In fact, you know, guys, we may end up going down to Round Rock for a day or something and do a game for a couple games or something like that. Maybe record down there for you Round Rock fans that are big Ranger fans. We'll try to do that. Reed's always been a friend of the show. He's really nice. I've talked to him out at Frisco. I think I think their company does the concessions. I think they do it at the big league level, and I think they do it at both Round Rock. They have a concession company that does concessions.
Yeah, they have they've also bought into they bought a 25% of the San Antonio missions, the AA team there,
right? And they own Corpus Christi.
Yeah, and they're trying to clean up the situation in San Antonio. It's a really not good ballpark. Josh Young has played there and as in high school. Was like, ugh, you know, and so that ought to tell you, and And I think there was talk of building a ballpark near downtown San Antonio.
Downtown San Antonio is nice.
I mean, so anyway, it's cool. Anyway, yeah. We'll see what they do. But, yeah, thanks to the Round Rock Express for hopping on the Rangers Today train. We greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Is that it?
Well, just, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel because it's good.
Follow the Dub Network on YouTube also. Okay, they've got a YouTube channel. That. They're partnering with us on that. So you can to do that. But good to be on the Dub Network. Follow rangerstoday.com, $5.99 a month, $60 for a year, $35. Right. If you're still haggling over the $5 and you don't know if you want to do it, sign up for the newsletter. I mean, you're sending out that newsletter, the more we got. And, guys, there'll be some opportunities if your business wants to do something and they've got a low budget. We're open to talk to anybody. We'll do sponsorships for anything. Absolutely. We'll put your company on here. We'll link you to the website. We'll do something. Get a hold of them. Have them get a hold of us. But I think that's going to be it.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks to Grant. This is his first day at Globe Life Field. This is his first home game, so he's got some irons in the fire and some things that he's got to learn. And I was actually hesitant to ask if he would be available, but he said he would do it. And
good.
So hopefully, maybe we'll put him at ease. Maybe we can give him some tips about the clubhouse or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see anyway, when we get out there today.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Guys, that's it. That's episode 85. 86 coming next week. Until next time, we will see you at the yard.